We're rolling. Today is what? January 13?
14.
14. Okay. January 14, 2020. We're having men's meeting and a nice lot of us. There's six of us here tonight. So.
Somebody pray.
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay, I'll pray. Oh, yes, Lord, by your Spirit. We ask that your Spirit be with us tonight, O Lord, that we would be open to your truths, O Lord. Open if there's things to express. Open if they get expressed by others, O Lord. That we would have discernment. That we would know your voice. And if it's not your voice, we know that too. Help us with those things, O Lord. Yes. And Lord, that it might be your voice. Your voice, your truths, your word. Shirley Keith was anointed when he said that truth is what you meant by what you said. And so that we would have insight tonight in what you meant by what you said, by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. That was... when that statement was made, that was a flesh and blood does not reveal this. And I've thought about it a lot of times later, and I thought, I wasn't smart enough to come up with that. Because that's what it is. And that's why I was so impacted by what Steve had to say when he came. You know, he says that there's no other truth in the universe except the Word of God. That's come by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come by natural observation, because to avoid science, falsely so called, which is knowledge gained by natural observation. That's all it is. And but anyway,
well, I have found it. Key, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, a key, you know, kind of just pick a lock and turn it and open things up. I have found it that thing.
You know,
by what you know.
On a weekly basis, probably weekly, but on a long range basis. I don't know if that's the right way to word it, but we have had things come to us, and you guys have shared them, and, you know, these things have come that were not by natural observation. They were spiritual things. You know, when the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, or that faith is a substance of things hoped for, or however we see faith, or it comes by the hearing of the Word of God, that is a mystery. That's a mystery. I have always looked at faith as some kind of a God-given something that dropped out of the heavens, and it is. But it's also a result of something that we do. You know, it's like salvation. God could save everybody if he wanted to. But what he has is he's got it set up so we respond to him, we obey him, we love him, you know what I mean? And Jesus said, if you continue in my word. He didn't say, it would be nice if you did. we're on the line. If we don't continue in the word, we're not going to get the same effect. You know? That's the way it is. And so... anyone that continues in God's word, God's word through Christ, and that's actually what we want. Mm-hmm. And anyone that continues in it is going to be in a better position. You know, when God says, the covenant I'm going to make with you, I'm going to write my word in your minds and on your hearts. That's not the same as reading it out of a Bible for a half hour a week. You know what I mean? It's not the same. Because now you become attached to it. It becomes part of you. I was looking, thinking about the word today. You know, I didn't necessarily have the most wonderful day I've ever had because I'm trying to work over there and work on that baptism thing, and the only help I got is Chuck, you know, today. And I'm not anything against Chuck, but probably know how it is to work with Chuck. Cause he's
it's fun, Chuck.
It's fun.
It's real fun.
He's like I keep telling him, and I watched a long. I'll get back to what I was going to say here, but I watched a long thing today on one of the public broadcasting public channels, and anyway, it had it was a whole series thing on Oslo, Norway. You know, and I keep calling, accusing him of being a Norwegian. Of course, Candy. It tells me, she says that she's as much Norwegian as he is. And my kids and his brothers we're all in the same, they're all in the same place, you know. But anyway, it was a little difficult today because of trying to understand what I'm wanting, you know. And
you might not have said it perfect either.
No. No,
I'll stick it up for you, Chuck.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah.
But I've had a strange, not a difficulty with trying to do some things, but realizing what the Bible really says. You know, Jesus said to those that exalt themselves. Yeah, they're going to be humbled. Those that humble themselves, he's going to exalt. And I got thinking about that fellow, the Pharisee that was praying. And he says, I thank, Father, you know, Lord, I thank you. I'm not like other men. You know what? I've been there. I know a number of other people that have been there or are there or whatever. And I bet you today there's lots of people who are thinking, I'm thankful I'm not like other people.
Yeah. I do think humility is a gift. You know, we don't come by it naturally.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, I'm not sure if Jesus said it or maybe one of the other writers, but it says that beware lest you think you stand, lest you fall. Mm. And the thing about it is, there's not anybody that stands in a good position.
Right. You know, nobody. Going back to the, you know, I thank you that I'm not a kind of man. Now, the other guy, the publican, I mean, the publican was probably as good or as bad as the other guy. But the approach before the Lord is the problem. You know what I mean? The problem wasn't, you know, they were both in bad shape. You know what I mean? He just wasn't seeing it. But the approach before the Lord is what the issue is.
And, you know, go ahead.
Well, I'm guessing, you know, Pablo, probably the publican did do a whole bunch of things right. I mean, the wrong. And, the Pharisee did a bunch of things right. But still, the one that went away justified was the publican.
Right, but see, with the Pharisee, he was, you know, I think that I'm not like other men in certain areas. Right. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? In certain areas.
Plus the weakness is we don't really know our condition.
Right.
No, that's right.
We don't know how God sees us.
You know, one of the, I don't want to say difficulties, but one of the difficulties of listening to the scriptures is like it passes and you don't know nothing. But it says, I think it's Paul speaking about Moses. Moses, he's saying, you know, Moses having the same nature of that we have. You know what I mean? And I've said this so many times. And all the Bible writers and the prophets. I think we elevate him, even John the Baptist, we put him higher than where they should be. Because, you know, Jesus says, a man can do nothing unless it's been given him to from up above.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, right. So God, all he's, it's like, you know, all you got to work for is Chuck. That's how God feels like with us. You know what I mean?
Very well put.
You know, so God has...
Yeah.
We are imperfect, but he's doing a mighty work still.
Yeah.
But all the prophets, all Paul, the apostles, they are very flawed, just like us. Just like us. They have a dirty mind. They lie. They want to steal, or they steal. They covet all that stuff. They do. They do. Paul says he does. And all the prophets. So... we don't. I don't even know why I'm saying all that, but
no, you're right.
Yeah, but there was a reason. But anyways, we don't have to point toward being like the prophets or like just like Jesus, you know. And just, you know, Lord have mercy on me. I'm a sinful man. That's the attitude that Paul had, that Moses had. They all had to have it. They were all like passions and the same nature. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was thinking today of along the same line where Paul said that Jesus Christ came to save sinners,
mm-hmm.
of whom I am the chief. He didn't say whom I was.
Right.
It's
yeah.
I am, I think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I
think
it does say that.
I am the chief. And you know what? It makes us understand... Like the Matthew 7 situation. Lord, look at what we did in your name.
Right.
Look at the things that we did. That we did. Look at the things that we did in your name.
Right.
And what we have is, we have the Pharisee in heart. We don't have the publican in heart. You know, the publican says, have mercy on me, a sinner. And it's like you could hear... a self-righteous something in them. And I'm so familiar with self-righteous attitudes in so many people for so many years. You know, just, it stinks.
You know, Jesus said, you know, he who is not sick does not need a physician.
Right.
You know, but, and the truth is that everyone is sick. So he who is healthy in their own eyes doesn't need a physician. You know what I mean? You got to know you're sick in order to need Jesus. You know what I mean? You have to know.
And the more you listen to the scriptures,
the more you know.
The more you know how sick you are.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's a crazy way to put it, but,
right.
You know.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the Bible says.
And that's mercy.
Yeah, it says, oh, come on. Submit your body as a living sacrifice. I didn't submit. What's the right word?
Like render? Not render. Present. Or
present.
Yeah.
Or present your body as a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
Holy and acceptable unto God.
Good luck.
You know what the next line says?
Yeah.
Which is your reasonable service.
Right.
Yeah. I was just thinking, you know, you could be walking around and people could not find one sin in you, but if you had one,
you're guilty.
You're still a failure.
Yeah.
You know? Because I was just thinking, yeah, but, you know, Paul and them, they were walking way better than I am right now. And it's like, but it doesn't matter, because if they have one little fault, we're the same.
And
in a sense.
Elijah was a man of like passions.
I think some people can be walking more righteously than others.
You know, but there's a place.
I think because if God's bringing them into a place, which I hope he brings us, we should be getting more righteous.
You know,
I hope so too. We are still a very good grace, though.
On the other hand, Paul says there's no one righteous. You know what I mean? There's no one righteous, but then you're ought to be righteous. But you know, there's a place I think is in the Book of John, First Book of John. I don't know. He says, you know, if your brother is sinning, has a sin unto death, you know, help him out, whatever. But if he's got not sin unto death, so there's different sins. You know what I mean? Some sin will unto death. What it means, I'm guessing, is like, but we go to hell or whatever. I mean, that's like unto death. I mean, you know. So there's sins, and there's once you are a murderer, you know, every day or whatever. I mean, that's not unto death, but I don't know. If you covet, I don't okay, well, you covet, jeez. You know, there's different things. You know, of course, you're as guilty if you do one or the other. But there's sin unto death, and sin that is not unto death.
You know, but Jesus kind of confuses those things in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, you know, if you've looked upon a woman with lust, you've committed,
right.
You've committed adultery with her,
right.
And you murdered. If you say you fool, you know,
right.
You know, it's fuzzy,
right?
It's fuzzy,
right?
You know. Yeah. You're talking about the light of truth on the Word. And it's something that I can almost see out of the corner of my eye, the Word lit up with truth. But it's in the corner of my eye. I'm kind of aware it's there, but I don't have a real good grip on it.
I think it's in the corner of all of our eyes.
Yeah, and I'm certainly not in the middle of it. Yeah, no. It's in the corner of my eye.
If it, Charlie, if it was, I think we'd be seeing things that we're not seeing.
Yeah.
Because it would create a faith substance. And I don't know if we would say it would say to the mountain or something, but it would do something to us that it's not happening yet. And if God's going to finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, we're going to see something happen in the end of time. That where God's gonna, you know, He's gonna reveal His people. Something's gonna happen.
Yeah.
They might not be popular, but He's gonna reveal them.
You know, I was kind of edifying. I was going through YouTube, and it said Muslim woman learned to. Fuji, loved you, whatever. So she had a testimony. And, oh, that was just so sweet. That she just...
Is she still alive?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Actually, a very beautiful young woman. But she just... How she explained it, it was just... You know, she said she kind of met him, and then she went back into her old ways. And then all of a sudden... She came back, and she just, and the minute after that, you know, she's saying it, she's starting to tear, and, you know, because she just, because of the mercy and grace that was there, and that He loved her, and, you know, it was really neat to see. I mean, it was nice to see.
That's refreshing.
Yeah, and there's quite a few of them, actually. I mean, there was another one on YouTube, I didn't listen to it, but. That's just picking a couple. You know there's got to be a whole bunch more.
I do think it's under the radar, under the horizon. The Christians in the Arab, in the Muslim world, you know, I think.
Oh, they're probably almost underground over there.
Yes, that's
I think she was here in this.
Below
in
the horizon,
States,
under the radar. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's easy to be lifted up in pride. You know? The devil plays on that. The devil is the author of pride. And yes, people, you know, lifted up and thinking that they are something that they're not. And the truth of the matter is, the only perfect human being ever was Jesus. And that's why every one of us depends totally on him. You can't get to heaven without him. And you can't get to the Father without him. And so we have to depend on his righteousness, not our own. You know, if Christ is in you, then that's the hope of glory. It's that's why this whole thing with baptism, which I get a little bit more a better understanding, but it says if you're baptized into Christ, I have never seen that aspect of it before. We're baptized in his name. But that's not what the Bible, that's not what it says. It says that in a number of times or places, and I've never seen it. If you are baptized into Christ, you have to put on Christ. You are baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection. I don't really understand how that works. What does that mean? And it says that, I think, in any translation I can find. That's what it says.
Yeah, I think that's right.
But we've never seen the idea of being baptized into Christ.
Well, we never grabbed hold of it. We've never made it our own.
I never even knew that it was in the Scriptures. And I don't think that came by, you know, that by us, our great understanding, that it came somehow. God is opening a door to us that we need to understand. And I think that the baptism into Christ may be a key, vital thing in the future.
I believe that's right.
And you know what? And I can't say that for sure because I'm only suspecting that.
I just
I don't know.
Picked up on a little spot here in Corinthians. And now just I was reading it again, and I don't really want to read the whole thing before, but it's the setting where it says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So it goes through that. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in the presence. But of him, now I'm thinking of him being of God, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That it, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And I think that means the Lord God, you know. So right there, all of a sudden, when I read that, it went, so is it up to God that you are in Christ Jesus?
Yeah. It has to be. But even there where it said, let him glory in the Lord, it still could be Christ. If you're going to glory in something, glory in Christ.
Well, yeah, I'm just thinking, I think that's an Old Testament statement. I'm not, it doesn't say that.
The book is always indented in a way that
it's, yeah, it has.
And just because it's in the Old Testament doesn't refer to Jesus either, I don't think.
I don't know. Let me see, I think it had an A, which, 31.
Glenn, did I get you, get my Bible over here?
31.
I should get up and do it, but one day time.
Jeremiah 9:24. Right
over there.
Mm-hmm. Is the reference?
Yeah.
Okay. What the? Where about the first verse?
Yeah, right.
It's right away. It's in the first chapter. No, second
one. Okay.
Wait a minute. Well, it goes from the end of chapter 1.
Let's say we
Mm-hmm. Well, most of that. Well, what I read was all at the end of chapter one.
Okay.
In first Corinthians.
Where you at?
First Corinthians.
Yep.
First Corinthians 25 through 31. Huh?
And yeah, and that Lord is in mind. It's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which I believe is Yahweh.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's it is capitalized in mind too.
Is that 21? What?
First Corinthians 1.
Oh, 1.
But 31. Verse 31.
Yeah, but chapter 1.
Chapter 1.
Yeah, right, chapter 1.
See, some of it is, I don't know, no, I'm not saying this is the word of the Lord or anything, but reading through that, it's kind of, it seems to me it's showing that it's God who chooses who he wishes and whatever. Yeah, I mean, but for one, it's saying the humble and whatever, because if you read that before, it's none that are mighty, it's the lowly, it's the despised, it's the, you know, the weak, not the, but the weak, it says, well, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. It's kind of all up to God, doesn't it sound like?
Yeah.
It's talking on a kind of a general level, and that is certainly his tendency. I don't know if it, not that he doesn't, he chooses specific individuals too, but I think he does. It's funny the extent to which our own.
Well, yeah, I think that's what it's saying. He chooses each one.
Those individuals, yeah.
That fit in them categories. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are plenty of scriptures that would support predestination. And a fair number of them support free will, too. But
yeah, I mean.
I think the two of them do some kind of dance together.
Yes. Yeah.
Free will and, you know, which we can't fully, you know, but.
I mean, and I think you could say those verses are a generalization also.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But.
I think they are. But that's not to say that they don't have specific.
Yeah, because it's talking about people, more or less, mm-hmm. because there's mighty people and there's the foolish, and, you know. People that are despised. And, you know, and it makes perfect sense to me because I sit and look at myself fitting into most of those categories, you know, and, you know, not being mighty, not being wise, not being, you know, whatever.
Well, and it's to the extent that you are, it's not that that works with the Lord. That's not, that wasn't what worked. In relationship between you and the Lord.
What?
To the extent that you have, you're wise. And you,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
you
right.
All those
right.
Things, you know. That wasn't it.
No.
It was a different deal.
Well, you know what it is. I mean, see, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. God sees everybody. And most of us, we never pick the ones that we think are supposed to be saved. You know, I mean, I think of all the people I've been around that I thought, not my kind of person to hang with. But you know what? They were in love with the Lord, you know, and they were, you know, that right there. I probably that's a good place to repent because I probably thought I was this much above them. In whatever status of the world or whatever. And I see now that that's really foolish to do. Because those people could be just right what God wants.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
little bit like, what's his name? That you bring up a lot. No.
Smith Wigglesworth?
No, the guy that was here and then Seattle had the Bible.
Clarence.
You know, that's a kind of an example.
Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah, he's.
I had an interesting experience in jail one time where.
Explain that a little bit for the. Would you please? Just for the tape reason.
Okay, fair enough. I had an interesting experience one time when I was ministering, part of jail ministry.
I'm sorry, but.
I forget about
that. It'll get their attention.
Yeah, right. there was, I don't know, some odd dealing on a spiritual level with stuff. And there was a. The white guys, they weren't getting it. A couple black guys, they were getting it. They were getting it. And it was funny to be the group that you were part of was me and the black guys.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of cool, frankly, you know. You have the, you know, there's the other. And then there's, you know, and the other was the white guys. You know, Ken, Keith, you were talking about the tendency toward pride and so forth. You know, there's that scripture in Psalms where he says, my sin is forever before my eyes. My sin is forever before my eyes. And that's kind of a blessing to have your sin forever before your eyes, not shunting it away in the closet or something. You know?
You don't want it, but God, in a way, God keeps it there.
Yeah, right.
So you know it's forgiven, but it's still before your eyes. Yeah, I can kind of understand that.
And yeah, forgiven. I for me, it's kind of a status.
I think
a guy who falls short.
I think the righteous. The Bible says, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where are the sinners and the ungodly going to be? And I think, if you go to heaven, the last day that you live, maybe some of the last breath you take, you're going to be saying, "God, have mercy on me." And you're not going to be just mouthing it, you're going to be meaning it. And for the simple reason that we really don't know who we are. And that's why the it says in Hebrews 4, it says that the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder the bone from the marrow, and is a revealer, that's not the word, but a of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Well, I mean, it's God that is what we're talking about, but God who, the Word was God, the Word was Him in the source. We're talking about His abilities. And, but if He's a discerner of the heart and knows not only the thoughts, but the intents of the heart, we don't even know that.
Oh, that's right.
The Bible says the heart is deceitful.
Deceitful and wicked. Who can know it?
Who can know it?
That verse just meant a whole much more to me. The righteous are scarcely saved. Kind of sounds like you're probably not perfect. And what we think is perfection. You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's kind of a sobering thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's also kind of hope.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all of a sudden how I caught it was, that's hope. Because you think you need to be this so dynamic of a Christian, or whatever, you know, living.
That would be righteous then.
Yeah. But it's you got just enough righteousness to be saved. Mm-hmm. Look at it that way. It just put a little different vent on it for me all of a sudden. Uh-huh. Maybe it's the wrong vent. I don't know, but
Paul said. He said in Philippians 3, he said that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Before that, just a couple of verses before that. And he says, we are the true circumcision, or the true Christian is what he's saying. We worship God in the Spirit, and we rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we put no confidence in the flesh. And anyway, I was just thinking of it, and we rejoice in Christ Jesus. And I'm thinking, we put our hope in Christ. You know what I mean? And you know what? You can't do that as a Trinitarian. You can only do it when Christ becomes the man Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you can't do it. See, the scriptures I kept trying to find here. Not trying to find, but to fit it in and read it. It says, if any man be in Christ. See, we got lots of scriptures that say that. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And I'm not so sure that we have a people that are fit, that are in Christ yet. You know what I mean? Until we walk with Him and we talk with Him and our fellowship is with the Savior who can stand between us and God, the mediator.
Yeah. Maybe I wonder if it isn't something like a seed, though. You look at a tiny little seed, nothing much going on there, whatever. But it has the capacity, even, big tree. It's all right, contained right in that seed. Can't see it yet, but it's that's the capacity.
Doesn't it make that, isn't that one of the comparisons to being born again?
I think maybe Jesus does. Yeah, he talks about
because
the mustard seed.
And when you think about it, whatever you were before, if it dies and then you're born again, you don't know what you're going to be.
Yeah, right.
You know? But you're going to be something brand new.
It has not yet appeared what we're going to be.
Right. Well, I mean, you don't know what you're going to be after you've been born again. Yeah. You know?
But in a sense, you know, even though it's tiny and you can't see it, you are that thing, in a sense. The grown oak tree, whatever. You are, in a sense, you are. And maybe in that something like that same sense, we are, whatever it is that the Lord sees in us.
Oops.
Or, I don't know.
Yeah.
It is hard to make sense of the really glorious expectation that is on us, and then compare that with our day-to-day life.
There's a lot that has to happen within. The Bible says that judgment must begin at the Church of God, and whether that's being the one that really is the church, or if that's the one that calls themselves a church or whatever. I guess it would better. I mean, if people are in a church and they get saved, are they saved? They probably are. You know, I don't want to take that away from them because I think a lot of good things happen in altar calls, and you know, you guys have experienced it, so have I.
No, but just like the parable of the sower, you know, there's different kinds of ground, you know.
Yeah.
And I not as we were talking, as I was listening, I think that there's a slight difference between being born again and being saved. Because you can be born again and drop, you know. I mean, you can be born again, but out of that reborn, you can be bad soil. You know what I mean? Being saved, I think, is when Jesus comes. When he comes again, is when you are finally saved. You know what I mean? I don't.
Yeah, it does say that's kind of the final.
Right.
But you, you know you've been saved if you've been truly born again
right.
At that point.
Right. But anyways, what I wanted to point out is that, like I said before, salvation is a verb. It's a
right.
It's an active.
Continue being
right.
Saved.
Like
yeah.
Paul says, you know, when we were first being saved, he says.
Yes.
So you are right now. We are being saved
mm-hmm.
until we are saved. You know, and that's where Jesus comes again. So, and then when he says, well, we don't really know who we are. I mean, he's right. We don't really know. We are what we're being. You know.
And if God brings us forth by the word of truth, our people being brought forth through a lie. What's happening?
Right.
I don't even want to pass that kind of a judgment, but if they're not hearing the truth,
they're not saved. They're just not.
They can't be.
No, it's harsh, but they're not. I mean, they're Jesus says, "Blind leading not the blind, being deceived and deceiving."
Yeah.
You know, there's no between the lines message there. It's that's just it.
Deceiving and being deceived. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But if that doesn't fit the majority of what we know and what we've seen,
sure.
You know, in a way, we were in a situation like that. I don't want to be real specific, but there's a lot of deception in the last few years, especially, you know. And twisting of the scripture to fit feelings and you know.
I don't know why that brought to remembrance something that I had today. I think I was trying to take a little nap. You know, and I was thinking about Pam and then these scriptures were coming about sacrificing for another one, you know, like Paul says, if they don't eat meat, I don't eat meat, whatever. But I was thinking about the weaker vessel, and I repented in an area deeper than I had before, because I realized that I didn't fulfill my role as the husband with her during the move. I thought I was doing right, but an angel of light can deceive you, you know?
Yeah.
And, and it was good. I it wasn't a problem at all to repent. I mean, I've never seen it that clear before of where I was. And it's like all of a sudden, in just a couple minutes, God revealed that little window and I repented. And I said, I hope somehow, I wish you could know, you know, that I was wrong.
And you know what? She doesn't even care right now.
Yeah.
You know, terrible thing that happened to Pam, but it may have been so totally ordained by the Lord. You know, because Pam was, I don't want to call it hard-hearted, but in some kind of sense, she could make a kind of a wry joke about things in a sort of a cynical way. That was what she was like. And including you, and including whatever, anything she, when she saw something phony in church, she put her finger on it, right smack, you know. Anyway, she was not like that. She was not like that at the end. She was, I think I have never seen anyone make as profound a change on their whole outlook to life. She was, in some kind of sense, like a little child. Well, that wouldn't have happened. That would not have happened without the experience that she went through. And she may be rejoicing at that terrible thing that occurred to her there. She may be rejoicing today.
Yeah, and I had to wrestle with the thought. So where are Christians when, pretty sure, you know, on why she got the cancer. And, you know, then you go, well, and then, but then it's a reward if she goes home, you know, but at the same time, you know, I'm sure she would like to have stayed and maybe seen her grandkids and everything, you know, but you know, he took her, so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm watching something right now. It's not the same, but Chuck and I went out with Glenn and Barbara on Sunday after, and on the way I called Carol. Well, I should have called her earlier, you know. And she says, "Well, it's getting late, and she's not really feeling up to it and whatever else." So we got a table for four. And we're sitting there, and Glenn is looking so he can see down the entryway. And here she is. She come in. She changed her mind. She never has, in many years as I've known her, she's never done that.
And so need to cheer over.
So Glenn
Barbara and I went to a different table.
So being the sweetheart.
Oh, yeah. Able to make the switch, huh?
They sat right behind me. Yeah. And she sat right across. She likes to sit by me because our conversation is on the Lord constantly. And I am amazed at what has happened to that woman. I'm amazed. Only God can do what's happening. And she listens to the scriptures all the time. She keeps listening. Once in a while, I'll hear her say something, and she'll slip and, you know, and gets upset with somebody. And she gets along good with Jeff, which is, they never have gotten along. Jeff has changed too. He plays the scriptures in his car.
Well, that was nice. That was good that you were tuned in and sensitive.
Oh, the sweethearts. They just were sweethearts. I've been so much Sunday.
Being aware of her nature and whatever.
And she likes Glenn and Barb. And she likes Barb. You know. And she's not really fond of a lot of women or a lot of men. That's just fond of anything. But she's just, God is just making her a sweetheart.
Funny how things shake out.
Yeah.
Well, I told my wife before I got here, about an hour, maybe 3 hours before. I don't feel like going tonight. And she says, well, are you going to go? I said, I'll let you know. Okay. So about 6 o'clock, well, I'm not sure I'm going to go. I don't feel like I got a thing, and I still don't have nothing to bring. Okay, which is fine. Don't get me wrong. So, you know, and she says, well, go anyway, because you might pick something up. Okay, so right here I am. You know.
Yeah.
You know,
you're right about that.
Yeah. But I just, it was, you know, do I go or don't I go type of thing. But, you know, just go anyway. So here I am. So if I didn't say much tonight, I don't have much to say. So, but I am listening.
I was in the same boat. I came home before 6. I'm like, I'm so tired. Still can't be, I'm like, so tired. I don't know, like, I meant to Bible study. She's like, well, I just, you know, stay home. I'm like, no, I want to go anyway. She tried to be supportive of it, but I know, I really don't want to miss it, but I did sit on my couch. If I sit on my couch, I'm gone for the rest of the night. So I ate, changed my clothes.
God bless you guys.
It is true, it's always easier, though. Stay put and get out in the dark and the cold and the snow and slippery and whatever. This time of year, particularly, you know.
Well, it happens any time of the year, actually. You know, the devil will hit you no matter what, you know, and it's just like, you know, and because you never know what you're going to pick up if you don't come, you know?
Yeah,
that's right.
So. I mean,
you know, I was talking to Kenny about this a little bit a few days ago. Because, okay, you know, you have a relationship with the Lord. And, you know, the Lord is going to save you, right? I mean, you guys, we're not saving each other. So then now, again, I have to work Sunday. I've been working weekends like an hour now. I had to work. I didn't have to work, but it's like I have to get it done so I can move on, so I can do this one, so I can do the next one. And everybody's waiting. Anyways, I sort of tell Kenny, well, you know, I hate to miss church, whatever. But, you know, I see the guys on Tuesdays and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, there's an importance for the gathering. I don't think it's your salvation doesn't hinge on it, I don't think. But it's, Jesus says, you know, somebody says, you know, don't forsake gathering or something.
Hebrews. Somebody yourself.
Yeah. So
Hebrews 11.
It's like communion. I mean, you don't have communion, you don't have it, but it's good for you. It helps. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just like when you go to Weight Watchers, you know, get it together, it helps you lose weight. You know what I mean? Or AA or whatever, you get together, it helps you quit drinking. You know, you just get together. Getting together helps whatever it is that you do it.
Well, it says it's for the edification.
Right, right, right. Mm-hmm. So it's good. So it's good. So you could do it by yourself, just Jesus and whatever, but just like this Holy Spirit helper, I think the Holy Spirit helps when we're together. It helps. I think it's good. It's good to get together. You know. I mean, has anybody of you ever walked out of this meeting and saying, well, man, I wish I wouldn't have come? You know what I mean?
No. No.
No.
No,
that doesn't happen.
You know what I mean?
No. Especially recently.
Right.
You know, like, you know.
But so before getting together, it's like, oh, man, I can't do it. But then I'm always glad, like, church or Tuesdays, I'm always glad we do it.
But I will admit, there are times during our stuff that I've said to myself, what am I doing here? you know, as it goes on, you can all these things go. What am I doing here?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, I'm being honest. Yeah. You know, it happens.
Well, you're edifying yourself. I mean,
no, I don't do that.
No. I mean, the Holy Spirit. you're not edifying yourself, but you're being edified through but with the media.
You know what? You can edify yourself by praying in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's what it says.
Right.
Well, yeah, you don't know what you're praying, so that's the good part. You don't know what you're praying, so.
See, there's different parts of the body. You know, one has this, one has that.
Right.
So if you only share a little bit, it doesn't mean that you're not part of the body.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, what I was praying to was when I said not that if I'm, I was thinking of my ego getting in there, you know, building myself up for.
Oh,
that type of thing, because that's what, that's what came to my mind. Is, no, I don't want to build myself up for false,
And there are times when the Spirit is more here than other times too. Yeah. There are times I think we're a good share of what we're talking about is in the natural.
There's nothing wrong with that. I don't have a problem with that.
Well, I guess that's the way it is. I prefer it be spiritual.
Right.
We should recognize that, we're not guaranteed all the time.
In that same train of thought, whatever, Paul, there was this, when he was preaching until, was it midnight? This guy fell out of the window.
Yeah, right.
Then he kept preaching.
Great the rest of the night.
Yeah, and then in the morning, they were praying for him or something.
Right. What I get a kick out of, there's two services that are talked about in the New Testament. There's 1 Corinthians 14, and then there's where Paul preaches all night and doing fall asleep.
But the way I see it in my head when I listen to it, I see that it had to be. I can't imagine Paul giving a monologue. For all those hours, it had to be question and answer.
It was long speaking,
right?
Didn't take Eutychus's in.
Eutychus.
Yeah, but there had to be people. Hey, well, so Paul, what do you think about this? So there had to be an exchange of words. He couldn't just preach.
See, it was a little different there. I mean, because everything. If he went to somewhere and they didn't have the God, he had to present everything that they'd gotten so far because they were completely new to it. Mm-hmm.
The thing is, only one person fell asleep.
Well, there's only one.
Out the window.
Maybe the others picked a better place to go.
Yeah. But it depends too. If the Holy Spirit's anointing it, it also anoints the listener.
That's right.
Yeah, there's sometimes, and I could listen for 5 minutes to this some guy, and be done. And then there's other times I can sit and listen for an hour or more, because they're really. It's anointed.
But if you're tired enough, you still can. No matter how anointed it is, you still fall asleep. Like Chuck does sometimes.
And we are so anointed and can't understand why you would fall asleep.
You know who Paul was ministering too, at the time of
Eutychus? Which area, what town?
Yeah, or what they were, how much of an established church there was there.
I think that was somewhat early in his Acts, wasn't it?
What I get a kick out of is someone named a town after the man. There's Eutychus, New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right. I guess it's named after him. I don't know.
Or somebody famous that was named Abraham.
My Youngs. We'll find out where that's at.
Okay. What are you up to tell me? Where the spirit is?
Yeah. Look up Eutychus.
Yeah,
Eutychus. Oh, is there a word?
Eutychus.
Okay, what is it? Hold on a second. So what is it?
U T I C the
U.S., I think.
U.S., probably.
It's the U.S.
Well, the other one says
EUTYEHUS. That's what I'm thinking. It's
EU. Well, it should be U.
Right. Acts 20, 9.
Acts 20, verse 9?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, he only makes it once.
Yeah, that means it.
Like a spelling wrong.
Yeah, but your spelling was not correct with my phone. Maybe it's like one way of doing it.
Sorry. Oh, I didn't get
that.
Oh, yeah, it's called way different.
Way different. But Google figured it out.
EU? It
huh?
Is it EU or what?
Yeah, it's an
EUTYCHUS. Never heard of that.
Except through Acts 20.
Yeah.
20 verse 9.
Well, maybe they didn't name the town after. We sailed to Philippi. Now, the first day of the week was a
so, where is that? Acts 20?
Yeah. Acts 20, verse starts about verse 7 and continues on. I don't know. It says, he spoke to them and he continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they gathered. In the window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking in a deep sleep. But anyway, they are in Philippi.
So what verse are you following?
Well, he's in verse 9, Acts 20, verse 9. But I'm looking, I'll try to.
Well, he'll get mentioned again, though, because then he'll go down and pray for him.
Yeah, it continues on. But I was trying to get a sense of what sort of church he was ministering in. Was it a brand new place or a place? I don't know.
And as Paul was long preaching,
yeah.
He sank down with sleep and fell from the third loft.
That's up there a ways.
And yeah, he was taken up dead.
The lights on, got warm.
And they were not a little comforted. Why did you just say uncomforted?
Yeah, that's a funny way of saying it.
They were not.
Well, it's 400 years ago.
They were really comforted.
I guess they were comforted.
That's what they said.
They were a lot comforted.
Right.
Everybody spells it. You're right. I didn't come any place close.
No, you were way out there.
Well, maybe they didn't. I've been listening to the Bible too much and not reading
it. No,
not
really. Yeah. Yeah, that was weird. So you didn't get yourself a tattoo of this guy or nothing like that? With his name there.
Good thing you didn't bet anybody.
No.
Well, yeah, that's real good.
Sounds kind of like the way it's said, though, isn't it? Or the way we say it. Eutychus. I was listening to this guy, the guy that you gave me on the and he says, prophecies. Prophecies.
Prophecies.
And
prophecies.
That's something else. Yeah, he doesn't use prophesy.
Yeah.
Prophecy.
Prophecy.
And they prophecy.
Yeah.
And then there was another one like that, too. It was kind of odd. Is that the English? I mean, is that the true English? Or?
That seems like a funny one.
Well, it's spelled prophecy. Isn't it?
But you say prophesy. Are you going to prophesy?
Yeah, but
prophecy. Is
that's
the way
what we
say.
You would give a prophecy, but he would prophesy.
But prophesy is spelled the same way of prophecy, isn't
right.
it? So it's prophecy. We pronounce it weird.
Yeah.
But maybe we are wrong.
Right.
Well, we changed a few things that just started rebellion.
To the New Britain, to the Britain Empire, the British Empire. if they probably went, well, if they're saying prophecy, we're going to say prophecy.
Right.
You know, there's no guarantee that whoever it is that they got to read the Bible knows the Bible, too.
Sometimes, yeah.
I know.
Well, yeah, because some of them people they got in there, I know they're not Christians.
Yeah.
They're just actors giving their,
sure.
you know, drama.
In my Bible, in my listening thing, at the very end, it says, you know, this copy of the Bible is copyright. This, whatever it is, says it's copyrighted, and the reproduction of it is strictly prohibited.
Right.
I'm like, how anti-Bible is that? How, I mean, like, shouldn't it be out? Shouldn't it be, just copy, like, copy it and give it away? You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
I know. Like, yeah, I think that, too. It's ridiculous.
It's really stupid.
Well, I have questioned the Johnny Cash rendition of it. Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard Johnny Cash?
Johnny Cash?
Yeah, with the Bible.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, that's right. He did do a version of the Bible, yeah. Didn't he?
Mm-hmm. He read it, you mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yep.
Huh. Just the New Testament?
I don't know.
I forget.
I don't know either. Mm.
But, yeah, I listened to it some.
But you know, the Word of God is the Word of God.
Sure.
And if they read it as it's written, you know. Remember what Jesus said about he said, do what when they read Moses, do what Moses, what it says, but don't do as they do.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Although I think Johnny Cash had a real good relationship with the Lord, or at least toward the end.
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. He married June Cash.
Carter.
Yeah. He had some kids by his first wife, did he?
Gosh, I don't know. I don't know anything about Johnny Cash's kids, I guess.
And I think I saw one of them on, I don't even know what she was talking. I think it was on one of the public broadcasting stations.
Okay.
I don't think him and June had any kids.
They were maybe both too old for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Good. Do you want that recording?
Oh,
on this conversation.
Call it quits.
Okay.
We're wrapping it up. Good night and God bless you.